Hi, this is Nathan McKenzie from Superman the Animated Podcast. In this podcast, I'm currently talking about Superman the Animated Series, which ran for 3 seasons, comprising of 54 episodes, and currently, we are talking about their 3rd and final season. So why don't you come join us? You can find us on all your favourite podcatchers, or you can reach out to us on social media at SupAnimatedPod on Twitter, or TheMWord81 on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at TheMWord81. Or you can go to the webpage, www.themword81.com, or send us an email at themword81@yahoo.com. Hope to see you there.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCEU podcast. This week we are covering the 3rd and final DC showcase. Four films this time, all of which were released with Constantine House of Mystery as the kind of headlining film of the collection, as opposed to the first showcase, which was just released as the DC Showcase, and the second lot, which was attached to Batman Death in the Family. And
I mean, they're just fluff pieces, so...
Oh, they are. Outside Constantine, all of them are under 20 minutes.
Constantine one's only 26, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's much difference.
Yeah. Well, it's 11, 10 minutes longer than Blue Beetle, for example.
Thank God.
Thank God that Blue Beetle was shorter, or thank God
yes.
that... Okay. So, we'll be doing these in... release order. Commandy, The Losers, and Blue Beetle were each attached to another film. So starting with Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth, which was tied to Justice Society, World War II.
Okay. Yeah, I guess they thought they're both historical.
Apparently these two are meant to be connected as well, somehow.
Well,
I
mean,
no
they
idea.
Tried.
Yeah. So the film opens up in... I'm not sure if this is meant to be post-apocalypse New York or post-apocalypse Metropolis. The Statue of Liberty's there.
Yeah, which is in neither Metropolis or... Yeah, so who knows.
Yeah. So we meet Commandy, who is voiced by Cameron Mulligan. I've kind of seen him in a few different pieces. I think the most recent thing I've seen him in is he's done the voice and mocap for the Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor.
Calcestis, right?
Yes.
See, are you surprised that I knew a voice actor and character?
No. You've been doing a animated film podcast for... Actually, I don't want to mention
yeah,
how many years.
Yeah, I still don't pay much attention to the voices. But he also did, I just saw a picture of him on Facebook, funnily enough. So.
Yeah.
He was in my mind a bit.
He also played the not Joker in
Gotham.
That whole weird thing. Commandy is the only human in a world that seems to be populated purely with half-human, half-animal people.
Hybrids, I think.
Hybrids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Though apparently, also, not quite humans, but they never quite tell what Ben is.
I have no idea. I mean, the whole setup's kind of dumb, but I actually did quite enjoy this one, so.
So, Commandy is rescuing a tiger man called Tufton. From rat people that are going to eat him.
As you do.
A chase starts and Commandy and the Antufton and the rat people all get captured by a cult of ape men.
Mm-hmm.
Who... The second I saw it, I was like, oh, this is going to lead to a Planet of the Apes setup. I mean, the second that you go,
you
show
clearly.
The Statue of Liberty at that angle, you're kind of invoking it.
Yeah.
So, They're also rounded up with Ben, who is, according to Wikipedia, is a quote-unquote nuclear man. Has power to change his skin, apparently. So...
mind-boggling that that would be called Nuclear Man, but okay. Yeah. I was just as you were saying, is that the power of nuclear? Like, I don't understand how that.
I don't know if it's meant to be like a.
I mean, surely they mean quantum or something like that.
Look, they just wanted to somehow get a version of Colossus in this film. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Figures.
So. We then get Commandy giving his backstory, explaining that he and his grandfather hid in a shelter called Command D, which is how he got his name.
Yawn.
So then our party is forced to go on a series of trials to honour the god that the ape cult...
I mean, it made no sense, but it was kind of fun.
So the ape cult worships Superman... And it's kind of done as a kind of gotcha reveal at the end.
Yeah.
But it's like the second you go, oh, he flew for the... Okay, so it's Superman.
Yeah.
So, Superman apparently saved the Earth before it completely dissolved during the apocalypse. And they're looking for the reincarnation of the Mighty One.
I mean, I didn't understand why they were so sure he would be reincarnated.
Religious cult.
Yeah, but even religious... I mean, not all religious cults believe that. But they don't all believe in reincarnation of something.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed a bit of a... Anyway, yeah.
So, the first test is a massive jump. Oh, also, a giant ape man also joins them called Zuma.
Yeah. It's just like DC, like their Ape Men and their Tiger Men, it seems.
So, the giant ape begins to jump easily. A couple of the rat people are forced to try and jump and fail. Tufton then jumps, breaking his ankle in the process. Commandy then manages to jump using tools and saves Tufton. He then also helps Ben and the two remaining living rat folk to get over using a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
He then refuses to let Tufton be left behind.
Yeah.
So the next trial is a tunnel that has a wall with guns on it. Because the Mighty One, and if you couldn't figure out it was Superman, at this point you knew.
I mean, it was pretty obvious though, even to me.
So, Ben then goes down to grab the, to get through the tunnel because he can turn his skin into metal. He then gets sprayed by a cloud of acid, which Commandy is then able to get through because it's more dangerous to metal than flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And successfully deactivates the... He's able to close the sprayer.
Shut it off, yeah.
Yeah. And the final trial is they have to fight, quote-unquote, the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a giant grasshopper.
Which is hilarious. I mean, it's just stupid.
So, Zuma then betrays Commandy and tries to feed him to the grasshopper. Commandy is then able to not defeat the beast, but instead take off its shock collar, which means it then respects him and becomes docile.
Yeah.
This then means that Commandy is worthy of being the next Mighty One. He is taken through to another chamber with a statue. Waiting for him there is... I don't know if it's a Superman shirt or if it is meant to be part of his costume or whatever it is.
Yeah, it was just a shirt. I didn't figure it was some holy relic.
Yep. And Instead of agreeing that, yes, I am the reincarnation of Superman, Commandy instead says, well, Superman must still be out there and I'm going to go and find him.
I mean, it was a bit of a leap of faith.
And
but it was all right. Look, this one was fine.
I mean, this one's fine. It does exactly what these films should be doing, which is going, here is a character, we might use him later, we don't know.
We probably won't.
Well, that said, I think a couple of different things in this film might be setting up Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Maybe.
Though actually, the week that this was recorded, we found out one person who's definitely appearing in Crisis on Infinite Earth, which is Kevin Conroy, because DC had to do damage control.
I didn't even know we'd found that out.
So, basically, So, the Suicide Squad game came out. And,
no, I know. I understand why it would have been. I just didn't hear that story at all.
But, yeah, it appears to be that that's a little bit of damage.
Honestly, though, also, I mean, like, I don't really think you can... I don't think you can judge what someone's last thing in a role is if you've liked everything else of theirs. I mean, like, I don't think they need to do damage control at all.
I don't think so, Isla. I can see why people are upset.
What if people hate Crisis on whatever, Infinite Earths?
Yeah, that's... I think it's...
I mean, he got paid for it.
Exactly.
It's not like, you know, like... It's just really odd. It's just... I don't think you should pander to fans who make those kind of arguments, generally.
To be fair,
I think DC
has had a bad habit of...
Yeah, I just think they're far too demanding of like, oh no, it's his last, how dare he have played something that I didn't love or was disrespectful to a character. They wouldn't care if it was Superman.
This is people who haven't watched Batman the Killing Joke.
Well, they probably loved it, actually.
I
mean, these are people I have zero respect for. But yeah, I mean, I understand. I just hadn't actually seen the announcement. But okay, that's cool.
So...
I mean, I'm glad he's in it. Because I like him, but I don't. Yeah, it doesn't make me have any different feelings about this film.
So we next jump into The Losers, which was attached to Batman: The Long Halloween Part 1.
And this one's dull, really.
Yes,
dull.
It is very dull.
I mean, if you want an introduction to the characters, honestly, the live-action film is just so much better.
Yes, that's one... Because there was a live-action, and it's... The cast of that, I remember being insane.
It is insane. It's Chris Evans, Zoe Saldana... What's his name?
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
That him, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It's a great cast, and it's a fun film, and... I was expecting more of the vibe of that, and it just felt really lifeless. It was just like, it was a bit of a slog. Like, I didn't hate it.
They don't even explain who the losers are.
No, they didn't. They just jumped you into this kind of cut price.
World War II film.
I was going to say the A-Team, which is what I've always seen them as, this kind of like, but yeah, it's much more army. So
yeah.
It's really like hardcore army stuff, and it's just like, I wouldn't watch that normally. So it's just like, okay,
so,
watching something I just wouldn't watch.
The losers in this film are Captain Storm, Johnny Cloud, Henry Mile a Minute Jones, Gunner, and Sarge, and they are working with Fan Long, who is generic duplicitous spy number 47.
See, I wouldn't have been able to tell you any of their names, and it's not just because I wasn't putting down notes.
The only reason I do is because they literally have a "this is the person" in
yeah,
an action
yeah.
shot with their name next to it.
Yeah.
So, the losers are on a boat fighting a creature. Johnny Cloud is then knocked overboard, only to be woken up on a mysterious island that shouldn't exist, with the boat for the losers absolutely destroyed. So it's not explained who the losers are, if they are like a special unit of the army, if they're rogues. What they appear to still be working for the American military in conjunction with the Chinese, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense in World
just,
War
II. It felt a bit messy, and I didn't really understand it. And I mean, I understood it in terms of what was happening in front of me, but I just didn't understand why I should care. And it's so detached from the rest of DC, which it is, I mean.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like such a weird choice.
So, it turns out that there are dinosaurs on this island.
Of course.
And that, as well as missing an eye, the captain has a fake leg. Eventually, Johnny Cloud and Fan Long end up cut off from the rest of the team. Just as they're being bared down upon by dinosaurs, the dinosaurs just stop when they cross the line. Because we need to carry on the film. I don't know. It is just literally, and then the dinosaurs go, no, we're not going there.
Yeah, it was like the dinosaurs just like, that's not part of our job.
So, yeah, they reach the safe room. So, it turns out that they're actually in the territory of a T-Rex, who Cloud is able to convince that he's an ally? Only for...
I mean, you know, he can speak to T-Rexes now.
Until it gets blown up by a grenade.
Yeah.
So, Fan and Cloud arrive at the base that they're travelling to, which is a laceration in space and time.
Sounds very Doctor Who.
Which is producing insane amounts of power, more power than the nuclear bomb.
Of course.
Because that's got to be a reference for everything. Cloud immediately goes, right, we need to destroy this then. This is bad.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, off screen, it's revealed that Gunner and Pooch are dead. They killed the dog. Not only did they killed the dog off screen.
Well, I'd rather they killed the dog off screen than on screen.
I suppose. So,
I mean, I don't want to see that happening. So.
Oh, sorry, tell a lie. The dinosaur wasn't a T-Rex. This is the T-Rex now.
Okay.
So, So, Mile a Minute Jones says, I'll distract the T-Rex by outrunning it.
As you do.
Because humans can outrun T-Rex now, even though all the evidence is that we can't outrun anything. We can't outrun hippos.
Of course we can't outrun them. Have you seen them?
I have, actually. They're huge. It's scary how big they are.
Yeah.
Cloud and the captain are going to carry out a plan. Sarge investigates a series of boxes in the tent. He finds a bunch of dead people in there, only for Fan to pull a gun on him.
Crazy.
It then turns out that Johnny Cloud is planning to crash a plane into the T-Rex. Or into the barrier, it's not quite clear. The captain instead takes over the plane. He flies into the T-Rex, killing it, and then flies into the barrier, at which point his bombs then drop whilst in the barrier, which seems to damage the barrier. Sarge is able to defeat Han and reveals that she killed all the researchers. Fan then confesses, oh no, my plan was I had to kill everyone involved here.
It's a bit Suicide Squad-y, but
pretty
not
much.
Yeah.
And the remaining losers decide we're going to walk into the barrier whilst holding big bombs. Fan then is the last one left as the bombs explode, covering the island. End of film.
See, and nothing. Like you described that. I don't remember watching any of that.
It's.
I remember spending a lot of time going, is this group not supposed to be more fun, or was the film misleading me? I think they are supposed to be more fun.
I mean, this is basically, it's the same idea as, I mean, the other film this kind of reminded me of was Sergeant Rock. The difference was Sergeant Rock at least had something.
I don't know. It may be that I'm really not into military stuff, because unless there's some kind of connection, I generally don't want to see American military doing anything overseas.
Yeah.
As part of my entertainment. So
the third of the kind of shorter films, also the only one attached to kind of a separate film, Blue Beetle, which was tied to Batman Long Halloween Part 2. And this is meant to be a riff on the kind of 60s, 70s Spider-Man series.
Is it?
That's what it's meant. I'm taking it that's... It's certainly trying to have that same kind of art style and that type of animation.
Okay. I hated this one.
It's...
I literally hated it. I like Blue Beetle, and I hated this.
It's kind of... Quite frankly, it is what my worst stereotypes of Adam West Batman is.
I like Adam West Batman. I just... This hadn't established itself in any way. It was just kind of there as it. It was just... I don't know. I mean, because it was only like 15, 16 minutes, there's kind of nothing in it. They have to make a little stupid joke about the Charlton characters, which is, of course, what Blue Beetle is. I just don't think it was that interesting. Like, I mean, it was fine.
So, we start with Blue... Well, first of all, it's 15 minutes, but it's actually only about 10 minutes because between the showcase intro, which is just under a minute, and then they do like a Blue Beetle animated show intro, which is just various clips from the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and then end credits as well. Look, the actual film itself is tiny.
Yeah.
So we follow Blue Beetle as he confronts the Squid Gang, who are stealing a diamond. The Squid Gang escape. The Question arrives to help Blue Beetle. So when they investigate the scene after the Squid Gang got away...
I mean, the Question was pretty cool in this, actually. I forgot.
Oh,
I kept making joke about, oh, that's the Question. Oh, stupid thing.
Yeah. Are these the heroes that were meant to be what eventually became Watchmen? Or am I making that up?
I think these are the ones that Watchmen was kind of like... I don't know if they were meant to be Watchmen, but this is like that kind of piss take of Watchmen.
Because the reason I'm asking is I'm sure that the story of how Watchmen came about was...
It is, it's from the Charlton characters, so...
Yeah. Obviously Question and... Rorschach, for instance, are very, very close to girl. So, the Question and Blue Beetle find a Zort Cola bottle cap. They then are able to find evidence of where it was bought. Then, when they find a penny there, they're able to test the penny to find a polish that is used for a very specific device, which is like a magnifier, which was stolen from the military, which was originally made by Ted Kord.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Blue Beetle?
Of course he's Blue Beetle.
Because we have to have a joke about that for like an extended 2 minute period, because we've not padded enough in this short.
Mm-hmm.
So the pair drop in, and it turns out the main villain of this film is Dr. Spectro, who is a man who has the ability to emit light that changes people's emotions.
Yeah.
So before Captain Atom, before our pair of heroes is able to confront Dr. Spectro, it turns out that he has turned Captain Atom and Nightshade, who were manipulated because there is chemicals in Zort's cola that makes them easier to control.
Of course.
So a fight breaks out. Atom is trying to fight the control, and Question suggests, well, if you change one of the colas into a antidote, that'll fix the problem, which he does. This also allows them to cure Nightshade, only for Spectre to then activate his device and make everyone sad. However, Question is able to logic his way out of it, even using the actual phrase, facts don't care about your feelings, except he actually uses it properly, unlike other people I've seen use that quote.
I have heard it now you say it, but I've not really paid attention.
It's a favourite of a lot of the right-wing nut jobs.
Oh, well then I'm glad I have no idea what it's about.
I think it might even be Ben Shapiro's catchphrase. I don't know. So the Question is then able to break the device by punching Dr. Spectre into it,
which is pretty cool, let's face it.
As the Squid Gang are taken away, Dr. Spectre is able to escape, and Blue Beetle and the Question fly off in the bug, which is an actual giant bug shape.
Yeah, it's great.
Yep. So that was Blue Beetle, and we'll get on to Constantine House of Mystery, which is the, as I said, was the kind of the title film in the collection when these four were released together.
Mm-hmm.
So Constantine House of Mystery is set in the immediate aftermath of Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Yes, but with way worse animation.
The worst part is they lift the scene from the end of the film.
Yeah, so you can see how much the degrade is.
So, yeah, the opening is John explaining how he set up a second flashpoint. This apparently is a confirmation as well that the Tomorrowverse is a direct continuation.
Yeah, apparently. But I mean, it doesn't really matter at this point. It's like, who cares?
Yeah, it's
this is all like, who cares territory. Yeah.
So John says specifically the change, because the whole of this section is John Constantine giving a monologue. Oh, Matt Ryan's back as well, which is good.
Yeah, always good, always good.
I do like that he's become the default John Constantine now.
Yeah.
So he mentioned specifically that the change he made was to make sure that Darkseid never found Earth. I don't know how he's able to cause that not to happen, but at least it means we don't get a film with Darkseid.
Yep.
And After this, John wakes up in the House of Mystery with no idea of how he got there, outside the fact that the animation style has changed.
Crazy.
So he is then surprised by his friends and family, including Zatanna, who then reveals, "Oh, you've got kids."
Yeah, that's weird.
Not only does he then go and he sees his kids, the kids, and then everyone else dies coughing up blood.
Yeah, a lot of blood.
So that's especially when you if you came off this just off Blue Beetle, which is like ultra U rating, kid friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone dies and then gets up and turns into demons, and kills John. He wakes up back in the hallway.
Yeah.
He then enters the room to find his friend having a poker game, only for the friends to then turn into demons and kill him.
Yeah, it's all clearly not entirely what's going on.
Including one of them turns into Etrican.
Yeah.
Though it's not actually Etrican, it's just generic demon, but the character models we had to have.
Does he rhyme? I don't think he rhymes, which is what the
clue. He doesn't rhyme at all. No, yeah, it's not Etrican.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. It's like, it's not, but it's like, yeah, it does look exactly like him.
So, Annullus. So, again, another situation. This time it's Zatanna in bed, only for her to turn demonic and kill him. So, on the fourth time, John starts to try and investigate what's actually happening. He tries to break out of the house through one of the windows. Eventually, he does get out into the desolate landscape surrounding the house.
Mm-hmm.
And runs into an invisible barrier. However, he's able to use a puddle to travel through water using a rune and ends up in what's later revealed to be kind of the space between worlds.
Right.
Before he's able to investigate further, Zatanna pulls him back out and kills him.
Of course.
John wakes up in the end of the Aristocrats joke.
Yeah. Of course, you have to have an aristocrat's joke. It's not a funny joke, anyway.
He then goes to the bathroom, creates another room, ends up having to use the toilet because it's the only source of water in the room, where he then finds Spectre.
Yeah.
Who is a very different version of the Spectre than the one we've seen in film.
Yeah.
Who I think that was actually the first ever showcase film, where he's just an undead detective. In this, he is a near godlike being.
Yeah.
Spectre reveals that John Constantine is being confined to the House of Mystery as a punishment for playing with time.
Which is stupid, but anyway.
To which John then goes, "Well, at least announce it publicly and make an example of me."
Yeah.
So we then cut back to John as he back in the House of Mystery as he is murdered again and again and again for years. I think they even get to the point, he says, "Oh no, this carried on for centuries."
That's, yeah, it's a lot.
John is then confronted by a new demon at the end. It was revealed that this is who John's telling his backstory to.
Yeah, because obviously, he gets chatty with demons all the time.
Yep, so this particular demon, I think, is called Morgal. I'm sure he's shown up in one of the films that we've done with Constantine, but I'm not sure. He and Morgul's argument is, "Well, I own your soul, so it should actually be me punishing you, not the House of Mystery." Oh, you shouldn't be under house arrest. You should be tortured by me.
Fair.
Only for it to turn out that Constantine sold his soul 3 separate times.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, he's that kind of guy.
It's classic Constantine.
Yeah.
So, John is then able to break out of his bindings and bind the 3 demons together with a curse that uses their own rage. So the only way for them to break out of their chains is to not be angry.
Which, you know,
is very interesting. Clever. So, the reason that John did this is because he knew that only demons would be able to make a portal into the House of Mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So he is able to jump out of it and escape the house. He then walks immediately into Spectre, who reveals, oh no, when I put you in the House of Mystery, it was meant to surround you with, like, your ideal dream. Like, it was going to be like your friends and family around you and everything was going to be great. Unfortunately, you hate yourself.
I mean, where's the lie?
And you feel so guilty about all the people that you're responsible for the death of that it ends up becoming a punishment. Mm-hmm. You are punishing yourself. John then accepts this and goes, okay, fine, put me back in. I accept my punishment. Only for it to turn out that the Spectre was actually trying to spare John. Because the universe itself wants him.
The universe itself.
So he is then dragged screaming into a light, which he's looked into. I'm pretty much sure that this is a direct setting up of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, probably.
So that was House of Mystery. I do think it's the best of the 4.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just... Only because it had the most substantial story. But I think there... I don't know. I like... Whereas I think some of the previous ones have done a good job of introducing smaller characters. I didn't really feel like I wanted to see more of any of these. I mean, and it's not really fair to compare that with Constantine because, I mean, we've all had a lot more exposure to Constantine. We all know that we probably
also
want to see
really
more of him anyway.
Showcase. It's more just we wanted to do a Constantine
mm-hmm. short
film. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And it's fine. I mean, I know I say it a lot, but it is what it is, that none of this stuff is essential. It kind of feels like they feel they've done the interesting stories and now they're just doing random. Like, I mean, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure a lot of this stuff will feed into Crisis on whatever, Infinite Earth, whichever one we're doing, whichever crisis we're doing. I don't think there's that many people anymore at this point in the DCAU who is religiously watching everything they put out because of the quality. Because I think the quality is already, like, these aren't the ones people talk about with love.
Yeah.
Any of the films we've seen recently. They're all kind of, some people have seen some people have seen the others. It's not like back in the first year or two of it, you know? And, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to come to that Crisis film without having seen any of this.
I think that's what's kind of becoming, what's becoming obvious is the budgets are coming down further and further as time's going on.
And the distribution's smaller, right? I mean, like, people, where are they even going? Like,
well, they are still doing, it's still DVD release. I think they are getting released on HBO Max or HBO, whatever it's called now.
I have no idea.
These
well,
are
I
actually
don't know
being
what's
released
in the UK.
Yeah. I mean, I know that one of the films I'm going to mention here has come out on DVD because it's. I think I sent you a picture of it, which is Scooby-Doo and Crypto 2.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know how many sales they're getting. Like, just because they've had these releases, I just don't think it's the same audience watching the same things over and over.
No.
Like, I don't know. It's just a gut feeling is that it's now become patchy enough that why would you follow this? But, yeah, who knows?
So, speaking of what is coming up, the next one we're covering is Legion of Superheroes.
Okay.
Which it's once again in the Tomorrowverse.
So when does the Tomorrowverse end? Like, and how are you supposed to know this stuff?
The Tomorrowverse is the one that's ending as we speak. The finale of the Tomorrowverse.
So the Tomorrowverse is the one that I'm saying people stopped watching it as a matter of course.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's true.
So Tomorrowverse is what's eventually going to end with the three Crisis on Infinite Earth films, one of which has already come out.
One of which has come out. So we're up to Crisis on Infinite Earth, part one has come out.
And part two is coming out in a couple of months.
And when's part three due?
Later this year. I don't think an exact date has been announced.
So we're going to get through all of these in our watch. Great.
I think the second one will have come out by the time we get to it. I don't think the third one will.
Okay. All right, so next one is Legion of Superheroes.
Yep.
What's that about?
So that is following Kara Zor-El as well as Mon-El and Brainiac 5. Hello, you still there?
I just trying. Are they a team? Like,
apparently.
Oh God.
Yeah.
All right, can't wait.
So after that is Batman: The Doom That Came to Gotham.
Yep.
Then Justice League and Ruby, Superheroes and Huntsman Part 1. Justice League War World, which features the modern DC Trinity, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Scooby-Doo and Crypto 2.
Yes. Which I think will at least be fun.
Yes. So that's the next five films we've got coming up. Okay.
That's it, okay.
And after that, we've got eight films currently released and at least two confirmed to be coming out on top of that.
Okay.
So, have you been on any of the podcasts recently?
Nope. Have you?
I am still going through Rise of the Robots. We are going through Robot Wars Series 6. And, yeah, we're having great fun. Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with
Legion of Superheroes. Same difference.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.